word. So we sing witnesses to the sound, the power on my lips. Jesus has broken the curse. He has never lost.
I a battle. He's never lost a battle. Our great defender,
our great defender.
He's our strong tower,
our strong tower.
He's never lost a battle.
He's never lost a battle.
He's never lost a battle.
He's never lost a battle. I am wise.
to my champion, my rescue. Oh,
glory to the Lord on high.
There is no
one
like you. Hear my song
of praise will rise
to my champion.
Because of his scars. And as we continue to sing it, I want you to know in your heart that you are worth it. He died for you.
And by your stripes, I'm closer than I have ever been.
So if it's okay, can you open your mouth and praise him for making you worth it?
I am washed by the blood of the Lamb, and by your scars, my sin erased, I am innocent.
Oh,
'cause we are washed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, we are washed.
We are washed.
Oh, 'cause we are washed
by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes,
we are washed by the blood of the Lamb.
And by his scars,
sins erased, I am
the blood of the Lamb, and by your stripes, I'm closer than I have ever been. Your soul.
Stripes. I'm closer than I've ever been. Do you feel close to the Lord Jesus today? Come on, I know the devil tries to come and tell you that you're far away, but he brought you near. Come on, somebody. He brought you near. Hallelujah. Listen to this story. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down. And he taught them. And as he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses says we should stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. You know, I don't know what he wrote, but I think it was probably the names of some of the men that were standing there that she had been with. Okay? So it's all of a sudden, it's zip-lip. It's quiet. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one. Better get out of here, okay? Better get out of here. Beginning with the oldest until Jesus only was left in the middle of the crowd with this woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." You know, I know there are challenges in our life today. I know there are so many vices, so many things that try to come and knock on our door. But that's what we have to say to the devil every time. You know what? You're a liar. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Come on, you sang it this morning. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Paul said in the New Testament that he teaches us to say no to ungodliness. You're involved in the process. You know, you have to take authority. When those spirits that come and try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, you have to take them, come on, what? Captive. No more. No more. You heard me last Sunday talk about how many times in Raleigh I would leave the bar room and I would slam that bottle down and I'd say, no more. There came a time when God gave me the power and the authority to take those things captive. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be in the Word of God. You know what? The enemy's going to try you. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Come on. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb. Let's sing that one more time. Sing that chorus from your heart today. Some of you that are standing here struggling this morning, why don't you declare it from your mouth today? I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. Satan, you're a liar. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, sing it this morning. Hallelujah.
By your scars,
by your scars.
and I am washed.
I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. I am washed by the blood of the Lamb.
And by your stripes,
closer than.
I'm closer than I have ever been.
Come on, give the Lord praise today. And by his stripes, say it, come on, I'm closer than I've ever been. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm closer than I've ever been. I'm going to read the Bible more than I ever have. I'm going into the secret place more than I ever have. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he's my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus this morning. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jesus Christ, hallelujah. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. So glad to be among you today. A day of a lot of activity in our country. Tonight, somebody say tonight, the roar will be settled. The fuss will be over. Somebody's going to be declared a champion on the gridiron, the football field. My sympathies to Cowboy fans, those of you that are wearing jerseys from the Cowboy. I see Antoine over here. Come on, give it up for Antoine. He's a faithful follower of the Cowboys. My sympathies to you, my friend. Well, my sympathies to everybody except a Chief or a 49er. Come on, y'all. You know what? It's going to happen tonight. Enjoy yourself. Be safe. Have friends over. Share the gospel. Don't look at trashy commercials. Come on, just listen. You can share the gospel tonight in your home. Amen. But let's just believe God for victory in Kansas City. Come on, y'all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know where the pastor's going anyway. Well, please let us know. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, and so afterwards, somebody say after this service, you can go straight to the back, and the youth are going to have a wonderful luncheon for you today. Soup and chili and nachos and all these kinds of things are there. They've put a lot of work into this, and they're going to use the funds that you give. There's no price on it. There's a basket there. You drop your donation in, and they will appreciate your help in getting them to Fine Arts this year. Amen. Come on. There you go. Amen. I get a witness over here. Amen. Praise the Lord. So join them today. Also, please let us know if next Saturday is a training day. It's called Equip Tour in the Assemblies of God, and it's coming up this Saturday. And our church van will be leaving the parking lot at 7:30. If you'd like to jump on there, would you let Corey know today? Hey, I want a seat. And you don't have to worry about the gas to get down there. We'll take you down there and bring you back. Lunch is included. It's all free. It's a time to be equipped. Some great breakout sessions. Also, it's a great time for Assemblies of God families in Northeast North Carolina to join together. Multiple churches will be there. It'll be a great time. Equip leaders, elders, deacons, pastors, volunteers. Everybody's welcome that wants to go. It'll be a great time. It'll be held at Rise Church from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Okay? Also, Nerfs and Nachos coming up on February the 24th for our kids. Nerf and Nachos. And we'll transform the Family Life Center into a tremendous hunting ground, okay? Nerfs and nachos. Nerfs and nachos. And today, Pastor Joy is joining me on the platform here. Today is Membership Sunday. She's coming to recognize, there you go. She's coming to recognize those who have decided to join us by way of church membership. Pastor Joy, God bless you.
What a great Sunday. You know, everybody loves the Super Bowl. They get all excited. You know, we're not big sports fans. Pastor always has his pick. I usually choose who has the best colors. But for me, it's all about the food. So you don't want me at your party if you are a big football fan, because I will be talking and cutting up and eating your food. So, but it's so nice to have the sports fans when they corral around and get their friends over and they have their connection, right? But CSIC also has a connection. When we come in on Sunday mornings and we're here together, we are family. We're joining in together. And we offer membership for those that would like it. And today is my favorite day, Membership Sunday. So let's get ready to welcome our new members. So call your name if you'll just come forward. We have Joseph and Lavonda Forehand. All right. Yes. We have Matthew Harrell. We have Darlene Moore and Donnie Wiggins. We have Ann Ramsier. Derek and Tamika Stevenson. Scott and Carolyn Wolf. All right. Yes. We're just squeezing them all up here. Isn't this a great crowd today for our new members? Give them a hand. Yes. And like in any family, there are those that are talented in different ways, right? You have the person that can write. You have the person that can conversate with anybody. You have the person that is the life of the party, the one that can cook, the one that can grill. Am I saying it right? Well, this represents a lot of those giftings right here. They have the gifts that make us family and make the church more inviting, more fun, more wholesome, all of those gifts. So each individual brings their gifts to the table today to serve CSIC and to become part of the family. So we're so excited about that. I won't tell you who the cook is, but you know if you know. And we have people that are excellent at just organization and excellent at cleaning and specifying different areas in the church. And it's just wonderful to have those giftings and talents join us and become members. So we love you guys. And why haven't you done this before? But you know, some of these faces you've seen for years, and you're saying, what? They're new members? But they made the step today, and we're so excited that today they step into a new stage, a new realm with CSIC. And guess what? They're going to hold us accountable, and we're holding them accountable too. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for every individual, Lord, that stands on this stage that says, today is a new start for us, and we choose to be members of CSIC. And Lord, we thank you for their giftings that they're already using in the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the steps that they will take, Lord, in just maturing as a Christian and growing in your ways. And we thank you, Father, that also you will utilize them not only in this church and in the walls of this church, but to reach other people in our communities, in our region, and Lord, that they will draw others to you. We thank you, Lord, that we are family. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ability to join together, to connect, to grow, to serve, love, win, build, and send. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you guys as you're seated. Praise God. There's an aspect of our giving that we've taken on a new venture in 2024. And we're committed to sharing with you what we're doing all along the way, not just to wait for a report, which you'll have in just a few weeks for 23, but just to share with you all along. So what's going on with this, with the money here? We took up this, we took up that. So take a listen this morning to a video, a couple of videos sharing with you recent, just in the last week, $11,500 coming right out of this congregation in the last two Sundays. God bless you.
Today we are freeing another family from Pakistan and digging another water well, thanks to your generosity to Kingdom Builders. We are so excited to be able to do this again, as you give every week and every month. This is what we're able to do. And so today I'm at the bank, I'm getting ready to wire the funds that you gave to Pakistan, and we are partnering with ministries around the world to see God's kingdom be built. So thank you for partnering with us. During the Impact Revival, we raised $10,000 to spread the gospel in the nation of Brazil through the ministry of Pat Schatzlein. And that is thanks to your generosity, Carpenter Shop. We want to thank you for giving to Kingdom Builders so that we can give to missions all over the world. And today it is my privilege to write a check for the funds that you gave to this ministry. As we partner together with Kingdom Builders, we are seeing souls saved and lives changed. So thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Pastor Noli's preaching away today. He is right here in Ahoskie. He didn't have to go far. He's preaching this morning at Church at the Crossroads, just a mile from here. So pray for him as he delivers the word of God today. Amen. Now it's time for us to give. And I encourage you, I challenge you. Some of you may say, well, you know, that's big money. Kingdom Builders is big money. It's big because all the smalls come together. Okay. Some of you may be saying, well, I wish I could do something with Kingdom Builders. You can. Maybe if you just said, hey, $25, okay? $25 a month, $25 a week, whatever you feel like you can do. It may not be that. It may be more. It may be less. But do something more than you've done before, and you'll be surprised at what God does with your finance. Amen. So if you're giving today, you can give by multiple ways. There are several ways on the board there that you can give. You can hold up your phone and just hit the QR code. You can give by check. You can give cash. In fact, you can come forward now and drop your proceeds in the buckets today as worship unto the Lord. God bless you in your giving. Thank you for giving your tithes, your offerings, and Kingdom Builders. God bless you.
Thank you.
What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. What a matchless name. What a glorious name. Amen. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Calling on the name of Jesus. This morning, as I was walking down the hallway for just a moment to go to the back, Susan Mitchell came out of the prayer room and she said, "Pastor." I said, "Yes." Yeah. She said, "Can I share something with you?" And I said, "You sure can." She said, she took my hand, she looked me right straight in the eyes, and she said, "I just want to thank you." She said, "That woman, Murray Williams, that you have in the prayer room," she said, "I just want to tell you thank you." Now, come on, y'all. Amen. So, Murray, would you come to the platform? We have the joy just a moment ago of praying for members who are maybe in the process of discovering, okay, God, what is my role? What do I need to do to serve? And but yet there's one that is an additional new member this morning. Would you give it up for Murray Williams? Would you stand right here? Hallelujah. And her ministry has already been assigned. She actually, several weeks ago, I posed a simple question to her when she said to me, "Pastor, I want to join this church." And I said, "Well, just what do you see yourself doing?" And she looked back at me and with confidence, she said, "Well, there's two things that I've always enjoyed in ministry. And one is teaching. And the other one," and this is when it hit my spirit, she said, "the other one is intercession. You always need people on the front lines, on their knees." Amen. And so she met with the team this morning. And you could hear just a moment ago some of the applauses and the affirmations. I wasn't in the room, but I'm understanding from what you experienced that you are appreciative already of a different step, a step forward to stand in the gap for God to do powerful things, not only in this room, not only in this on this campus and in the lives of those people who call it home, but in this town, come on, y'all, in this county, in this region. She has a difficult assignment anyway. She's the president of Roanoke Chowan Community College right here in Ahoskie. Come on, give the Lord a shout. And so not only is our honor today to receive her as a new member at Carpenter Shop International Church, but for Pastor Joy and I to lay our hands on her today. And Father, we just want to thank you for the power of intercession. We thank you, God, for one who you've already spoken to. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to avail yourself to. And so, Father, I thank you for one who would stand in a gap, stand on the wall, and intercede for this ministry, intercede for its pastors, its leaders, its elders, its volunteers, for safety, for provision, for protection, for finance, for everything that is involved in Carpenter Shop International Church. God, we thank you that at an appointed time, you moved her from Atlanta, Georgia to North Carolina because you had a plan. You said, "I have plans for my children, not to harm them, but to prosper them, to give them a hope and a future." And your word declares for Murray and for all of us that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And so today we embrace with gratitude the ministry of intercession led by Murray Williams, and we give you praise. Lord, raise up others as she's waiting for team members to come, to join, to be assigned. And Father, we thank you that because of intercession, God, you will open doors that have yet to be opened. You will close the ones that need to be closed, and you will from heaven descend your blessing upon what we put our hands to. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, and thank you, Murray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you want to share anything before we leave the platform here?
Good morning, Carpenter Shop. It is indeed a privilege and an honor to serve as the leader of the intercessory prayer ministry. I was telling the team this morning that praying makes praising and preaching easy. And it is our job to stand in the gap between God and any situations or circumstances or people here on the earth. And that's what we plan to do, because the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man and a righteous woman will avail much. And we believe that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Give it up for Murray Williams, would you? God bless you. Praise the Lord.
many of you ladies attended yesterday's session, the brunch? Oh, look at the hands. Yes, yes, yes. Give a shout out if you enjoyed it. Amen, amen. It was a wonderful time together as us gals, is what I like to call them. And I adopted that term from Susan Ross, because once she used it, it was like, oh yeah. But I guess you have to be my age to appreciate being called a gal. But anyway, it's so interesting the things that God does in and through women. And yesterday was just a time to feed into us. And that is exactly what Laura Lee did yesterday. Laura Lee is such a friend of ours, and for years I have looked up to her. I have seen her on the platform. She has prayed for us. She has prayed for our region and really just stood out to me as a leader. And, you know, she's pastored. She's been a church planner. She has been an inspirational speaker, but she's been an inspiration to women one-on-one. And whenever you see Laura, you're going to see other women, because she doesn't do it alone. She grabs other women and says, come with me. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what we're supposed to do, ladies? You know, I think of years and years ago, there was a program in my church when I was a little girl that all the older women's got to adopt us girls. Well, my mom was the missionette leader, and so I asked her every day, has anybody adopted me yet? Not yet, but you're one of the younger ones, and you know it takes time. So one of the old ladies in the church probably got talked into taking me. But let me tell you, I had the coolest socks in town. That lady loaded me up on socks. That was her thing. And so when all the other girls had on white knee socks, that was the style back then. I had the most awesome turquoise socks, pink socks, checkered socks, all kinds of socks. Because she lived close to a little children's boutique, and she would grab me a pair every now and then. That came to my memory last night when I was thinking about what Laura does for Inspire Women. She doesn't let anybody feel unloved. She grabs them and says, come on with us. Come on, get up, girl. Get up, come on. And so when I put on socks in the morning, sometimes my mind goes back to, especially if I wear a pair of crazy ones. I try not to do that as much anymore. But it reminds me of a little old lady. I mean, she was old. She wasn't going to take me places. She couldn't do that, but she could pray with me every time the church doors were open and she saw me there. She grabbed me and she prayed with me. She had a little bag. It might have a Twinkie in it. Tiger tails is what she used to give me. But it was the little things that said, come on, you're loved, you're a part. And so when somebody grabs your hand and says, come on, let's go to the altar, that's when those connections are made. The little things. And remembering that, yes, we are to grab the generations behind us and spearhead them forward. So, Laura Lee, come and share with the people today. Men, you're going to get a big surprise.
You keep wearing those crazy socks, Pastor Joy. Thank you so much, Pastor Wallace, Joy, for opening up your hearts and your house to the Inspire Project, to ministry this morning, generational ministry. Wasn't that an amazing worship this morning, Rico? Wow. It's just awesome. Thank you. What a great way to prepare our hearts. And it was so awesome to see even the installation of your new leader for intercessory prayer. Truly, prayer does make preaching and praising a little easier. So I'm believing for big things this morning. A lot of the heavy lifting has already been done as we prepare to receive the word of God this morning. I am going to jump right in to the message this morning because I believe that God has a specific word for Carpenter's Shop this morning. My life verse is Psalms 145:4. Let one generation commend his mighty acts to another. And in 2011, in the back of the church that I was a part of being able to pastor for almost 22 years, I had a God moment. And it was a church very similar to this. It was an old Free Will Baptist church, and we were having a night of prayer, a night of intercession. And at the very back corner of that church, during corporate prayer, the Lord highlighted, I call it a Holy Spirit highlight, that Rhema word to me and said to me, Laura, the rest of your life is committed to the generations, and that will be a huge part of what you do, what you say, how you live will be so generational. And I'm so grateful to say that I have three young adult men, children that I'm so privileged to be the mom of, and I have watched them follow the call of God on their life and are blazing the trails in Baltimore, Maryland, at Union Church, and then the other one is at Gateway Church in Texas, and then I still have a 17-year-old. I'm still keeping in the reins and asking God to be ready to release him as well. But I am passionate about the generations, and I have a message this morning that I believe is going to challenge your faith and what you see and how you see yourself impacting the next generation. This morning at the beautiful bed and breakfast that my dear interceding friend, Cindy King, and I had the privilege of staying at last night, I met an 87-year-old minister, retired. Well, he's not retired. He was here ministering in the area, in the region, last night. And he talked about that his work is not done, that he is still showing up to do the work because there's generations still depending on them. And now your name says a lot, Carpenter Shop International Church. And so that tells me that, number one, the nations are important to you. And number two, that the generations are important to you. And can I tell you this morning, Carpenter Shop, that the nations and the generations are depending on each of you to do your part and to do your work. And so I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to jump right into the Word of God this morning. Amen. Lord, I just ask, dear God, that you prepare our hearts to receive the mandate of the Word of God that you have over our life, that we will do our part in inspiring the next one to know Jesus. I ask, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit would seal upon our hearts, God, the words that you want to say. Allow me to be the mouthpiece, to only say what you would have me to say. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And we all said, amen, amen, amen. Give it up for Jesus this morning. Woo! He's so worthy. He's so worthy. Well, I tell you what, Carpenter Shop, I am a fourth generation Assemblies of God girl. I have been a Jesus girl my whole life, and I have had the privilege of raising a fifth and now watching the sixth generation be raised. I'm so grateful that I have three beautiful grandchildren My oldest is 5. Her name is Harlow, and the second little one is Holland. And we had a little caboose named Kendrick come along, and he's about 7 months old. And so I have been in the church, around the church, my whole life. My parents are not pastors. My parents are just faithful Sunday school teachers, deacon, trustees. They've done it all in the same church, El Bethel Assembly of God in New Brockton, Alabama, my whole life. And I'm going to just be honest with you this morning. Can I be honest with you this morning? In my many years of serving Jesus, I gave my heart to the Lord at a very young age, was baptized at a very young age, filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit at a kids camp, our kids VBS in the altars. I tell you what. The more that I've been serving the local church in full-time ministry, the more I do life in ministry, the less impressed I am by charismatic personalities, systems, programs, amazing worship leaders, pastors, preachers. You know what impresses me, Carpenter Shop? Lifers. Faithful. Lifers. I call them, I've been more impressed with Steady Bettys and Steady Eddies. You've heard of the Steady Betty. Well, you've probably never heard of Steady Eddie. I had to incorporate our men in here, obviously. And that's what impresses me. People who remain. People who don't give up. People who choose to stand even if it's on their knees. The easily Instagrammable, which I love Instagram, I love social media, the easy Instagrammable, the notable, the fill in the blank, whatever you want to say for yourself, do not impress me. My amount of likes, my amount of followers do nothing for me. I can assure you this morning that my goal is not to be a Facebook apologist. My goal before I stand before Jesus is to be found a faithful daughter. That's my goal. As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as a mother, as a grandmother, as a faithful friend, I want to be found faithful in a leaving culture. I want to be faithful over fearful. Look at your neighbor and say, be faithful. Faithful over all my feelings. Look at your neighbor and say, faithful. Faithful over however many followers I have on social media. Look at your neighbor and say, girl or guy, be faithful. I want to be faithful over fame. I don't want to be famous. I want to be faithful. Look at your neighbor and say, faithful. And certainly, I want to be faithful over fake. I want to be faithful. Look at your neighbor and say, faithful. Do you get the theme of my message this morning? It is about being faithful. Equipping the generations around us, but coming behind us to be found faithful. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I am looking for Christ followers who may not be famous, but who are faithful. Ones who remain steady in a very unsteady season of our culture and our life. Because it's not if the wind blows, it's when the wind blows. At what point the wind comes to blow your house down, are you going to be able to continue to stand? I love this song. In fact, I listened to it multiple times last night, this morning. You know the song? All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. Every breath
I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I can sing and continue to sing, although the enemy has tried to stop my voice multiple times through the last 52 years. Guess what? He cannot stop my song. And when I continue to remind him, those that are around me, of the faithfulness of God, things shift in the atmosphere. Things begin to shift. My circumstances may never change, but things in the spirit begin to shift and begin to move as I remain steady in my faithfulness to Jesus Christ. And why in the world would we want to do this, Carpenter Shop? Why in the world should we choose to remain faithful in our everyday life, no matter the situation that is happening around us? Do you know why? Why are we even gathering here on a Sunday morning? Because the whole world needs to know. It is our responsibility, as long as we have breath, that Jesus is coming. He is coming again. He is coming soon. I have heard it my entire life, and I'm convinced even more so than when my precious Ma Al, that sat on the front row of El Bethel Assembly of God, she would say that over and over again. But I'm convinced even more now, Jesus is coming soon, Carpenter Shop. And so it is imperative that we live a life of faithfulness to him while we have breath, and do our part in encouraging as many others along the way this morning. Can you say amen? 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful and called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, then I need you to be reassured this morning that God is faithful. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to have the opportunity to do just that before we leave today. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. What a promise. While on my watch, I want to ensure that not only do I do my part in depositing the truth of God's word, but I want so desperately, Pastor Wallace, to give the tools that are needed to those that are on my right, to my left, coming behind me, those that are even in front of me. I want to be able to ensure that they have the tools that they need to remain faithful and full of faithfulness in a leaving culture. We think that COVID-19, if we remotely think that COVID-19 was the only pandemic that we fought, I can assure you that we're still fighting one as a nation of epic proportions, and that is the attempt to take out an entire generation of people from the local church. I love how Priscilla Shire puts it in one of her messages that I listened to several years ago. She says, her message was called Remaining in a Leaving Culture. I encourage you to YouTube it. Remaining in a Leaving Culture. She says this: believers abort the process of remaining faithful in their current season. Why in the world do we check out and we abort the process of suffering? I tell you, Pastor Wallace, I shared this with the beautiful church that I had the opportunity to plant and help pastor back a couple of months ago. If there is one regret that I have as a pastor, I regret not preparing my people to suffer more. I have deep regret. Did I miss the mark in not preparing my people to suffer more? I can assure you this morning, Carpenter's Church, that there is going to be seasons of suffering that you have to walk through as a believer. And can I'm living proof. I'm standing here living proof this morning that it can become a beautiful thing. Your suffering can become a beautiful thing. It's not your identity. It's just a season that you have to walk through in times of our life. Because again, it's not if the storm comes, but when. But we, as a mature believer, you see, it's time to not just keep sucking on that bottle. Like my little 2-year-old granddaughter, it's time to lay the bottle down. She only gets it at night, but soon she won't receive that anymore because she's growing up, right? She's growing up, and so it's time to lay down the bottle, and it's time to dig into the meat of God's Word, of His community, all the things that's going to help to establish these pillars that you're able to stand on whenever the storm comes. We must know how to hold our footing during the winds and the waves of a storm, understanding that these seasons of storms that happen in our life, guys, they are important in developing who we have been called to be. They develop our character. They develop our countenance. They develop our compassion that we have in our life for others that are coming behind us, for those that are walking with us. It's heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking that there are few lifers in our day and age. And I'm not sure exactly here represented in this church. I know whenever I've preached this message overseas before, many times. In fact, I preached this message in Michigan just a few months ago. And the entire church, pretty much the entire church, Pastor Wallace, all were a part of Celebrate Recovery. Nearly 600 people in the middle of a cornfield, almost all of them first-generation believers. Think about that. We're talking about America here. We are in America, first-generation believers. It's more common than you think that it is. Most of the time overseas, I meet a lot of first-generation believers. There may be first-generation believers sitting in this room. In fact, the more that I travel here in the States during this season, the more that I am meeting people who are first in line of believing in Jesus Christ and literally changing the trajectory of their entire family line because they have chosen to believe in Jesus. Matthew chapter 7 gives us an amazing reminder here as a believer in Jesus, following Him and living a strong life. That chapter alone tells us that we should not judge others, that we can ask and it will be given, that there is a golden rule that's been given us. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you is very much a part of our very nature of who we've been called to be. It's talking about the tree and the fruit, but at the end of this chapter, oh, it's talking about a song that I learned as a little kid in church. The wise man built his house upon the what? The rock. Did anybody else learn that? It's a song that we sang almost every Sunday morning. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And I can't remember the rest of it. But it's saying basically the wind's coming in and the storms. I need to write the words down because I keep forgetting what the words are. It has been a long time. But Matthew 7 verses 24 through 27 talks about the difference in the wise and the foolish builders. And I'm not going to take the time to read this passage of scripture, but basically it says that those in verse 25, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. It did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. I encourage you to go back and read that passage of scripture. But I want to show you a picture this morning. It's a picture of this passage of scripture. This is a picture of Mexico Beach, Florida. And this is about 2 hours from where I grew up in South Alabama. And Hurricane Michael came through about 3 years ago, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, and literally obliterated this entire town. And this was one of the only remaining standing with very little issues house in on that beach. And do you know why that house is remaining? Because it is built with a foundation of concrete. It has a foundation of concrete. And I want you to look at that picture. This is after the storm. Look at the lawn furniture, the patio furniture that is still in place. How amazing is that picture? This picture absolutely just causes me to go, wow, what a beautiful testimony of what happens, how things can remain intact even whenever the Hurricane 5, Category 5 storm comes in to blow your life to smithereens. And now there's an even further thing that I don't have time to really talk about this, but on the other picture this morning, if you see the red circle over here, okay, yeah, you can really see it. I keep looking at the TV, but you can see it here. In this scripture, this really just so highlighted to me whenever I was studying this. This is a house behind the house that's still intact. This house has major storm damage, but that house is still standing. Think about it. That's why neighbors are so important. That's why community is so important. That's why you just added people into the house of God as a member, as a partner, to partner with the mission and the vision of this church. Why? Because you're going to help stand with them when the storms come through their life. You see, community is vital in order to stand the storms of life. That was all free, okay? That's not even a part of the sermon this morning. But just a reminder to you this morning that your footing needs to be one of concrete. It needs to be firmly planted. Your life needs to be firmly planted on the rock. What is the rock? It is the Word of God. The rock is the Word of God. So it's, again, not if the storm comes, but when the storm comes. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not if, but when. And the longer I serve Jesus, I have been around many multitudes of people pastoring for almost 30 years. I have seen people come and go. Their houses are no longer standing because their foundation was not on the rock. Where are the saints that remain? Where are the saints that remain? Who wants to be that saint this morning? Amen. And it is going to be imperative, Carpenter Shop, that we learn to deal with the but wins in our life with these two words, by faith. By faith. We are going to continue to stand by faith when the storm comes in. Hebrews chapter 12 gives us such hope that there are many that have gone ahead of us. I don't know, Joy, if the lady who gave you the crazy socks, if she's already in heaven by now, if you know that she's already in heaven, I can assure you she's in heaven cheering you on, continuing now, because that's what Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, right? Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith. I'll talk about that in a minute. But Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to go ahead and skip ahead to it. There are those that have gone ahead of us. The Bible calls them a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. Amen? Doesn't that excite you? Look at your neighbor and say, get excited. I'm telling you, you're not in it alone. And the great thing is you have an amazing church that are with you, that's moving forward with you. But guess what? Even if you're in a place in a season of your life where you feel alone, you're never alone. Because again, there is a great cloud of witnesses. It gives us hope that are cheering us on. And unfortunately, our culture has convinced us that church is optional, that the Bible is optional, that community is optional. Guess what? None of these options that are presented to us by our culture, our current culture, are biblical. I have news for you. None of them are biblical. And when you begin to live your life from a biblical perspective, understanding that, guess what? I need these elements in a life, in our life as a follower of Jesus Christ. We must lead by example. So opting out isn't an option. In my most recent season of storm that I have walked through the last 2 years in my own personal life, quitting was not an option. Quitting was the easy way out. But see, I still had three sets of eyes on me, and not just three. That three has been multiplied to five, plus now three more grandchildren. So there's eight eyes watching their Gigi, watching their mother walk through one of the most difficult seasons of my life. And I knew that quitting could not be an option. That while God called me at a 12-year-old youth camp, that He would continue to equip me and give me the strength that I needed to follow the call. Although my assignment had changed, the call of God on my life would never be revoked or changed. So opting out wasn't an option. I believe that there are people in this house today that are ready to quit, that are ready to walk away. It's just too hard. But I am asking God to continue to build a foundation, such a strong foundation of men and women and generations of children that will not be shaken when the wind blows. Unfortunately, we've taught our kids how to bail, take their business elsewhere if we don't get our way, and follow the levers instead of becoming a lifer. Man, think about it. Now, I had lifers as an example. In fact, my mom and dad, even now, although they're in a hospital room this morning, my dad had triple bypass surgery on Friday morning, and I FaceTimed them this morning. I'm sure that there will be a TV turned on, and there will be some form of preaching, or they will watch it on their telephone. They're lifers. They don't miss church. They don't miss their fellowship with their basic Sunday school group. They don't miss it. They're established. They're rooted. Their foundation is strong. Because again, I remember as an 18-year-old, Wallace, when my sister was diagnosed with cancer, it was the faith community that rallied around us and that walked with us that became the foundation of support that we needed during that storm. And though we did not see the healing that we thought should have taken place for my 14-year-old sister, it was the faith community. It was our tabernacle community that joined around us to help us walk through that season. It can't be optional. The local church, Carpenter's Shop International Church, needs lifers. It needs you. This community needs you. Why? Because there's still thousands of people in this community that doesn't know Jesus. And it is our responsibility. It is not your pastor's. If you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, it's yours. It doesn't mean that you stand behind a platform. It means that you touch the person at the grocery store. You inspire the person at Sam's Club. You inspire the person that you sit beside at your workplace, that you play golf with, Terry, that you minister with throughout the week, that you touch, that you reach. It even means your family, dear God. Oh, my goodness. It means your family. That can be sometimes the hardest people to minister to. Why? Because Jesus is coming. He is coming back. And we only have the time that we have, right? So will your house still remain as we establish a foundation of faithfulness? I know for me, I can speak for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I want to be found faithful in the big book. I want my name. I could care less if anybody knows my name in this room, but I want my name to be in the book of life, recorded in the book of life, Laura Lee and all of her people. I want my name and my people's name to be in that book, and I'm going to do everything that I can do as long as I have breath to ensure that. I want my name to be recorded in the Hall of Faith, is what I call it. There's several names, and I am so excited that many of them are women in Hebrews chapter 11 that are recorded in Hebrews chapter 11 of people of faithfulness. So what is faithfulness? Really quick, and we're going to wrap this up. The definition of faithfulness is this: the quality of being found faithful. Here's the biblical definition of faithfulness. It comes from a place of trust and loyalty. You see, God is faithful. And even at times when we remain faithless, that doesn't mean you're not faithful. Because our feelings may come and go. But what the truth is that we can still be found faithful even if our feelings are not lining up with our, because of our certain circumstance that we have. You see, serving Jesus is hard work. Serving Jesus is really hard work. It has hard things that we have to do sometimes. There are hard people that we have to deal with sometimes. But when we have a solid foundation of faith as the bottom of our house, it is going to make your job so much easier. But I'm so thankful that we can tap into a power that's greater than ours. It's called the power of the Holy Spirit to help us run with endurance to the mark of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:12. Rico, if you want to come, I'm about 5 minutes from being done. And I love this passage of Scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures of all time. I have sung about it. I've sung this scripture. I've witnessed with this scripture before. But Philippians chapter 3 says this: not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, Carpenter Shop International Church, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing that I do, I'm going to forget what is behind me, and I'm going to strain toward what is ahead of me. I press on. I press on. Look at your neighbor and say, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here's my reality. This is my reality. I miss the mark of pressing on a lot. But guess what? He's already aware of all that. All God is asking, that Paul is telling us in Philippians, is that I press. I get up tomorrow and I press. And I get up the next day and I press. And I get up the next day and I press. And I get up the next day and I press. Now, there are days, I learned this in my gym, there are seasons and days that I've got to hit a reset. Like, there has to be a reset in order for me to continue to press. And so there might be a reset day. I might have to have a reset day, a day where I am just not giving out, but I'm taking in, taking in, taking in. Whether that's 12 hours or 15 hours, and then guess what I do? The next day, I'm pressing. I'm going to show up to do the work, to press. Who's with me? In order to be faithful and live a life of faithfulness, you got to have faith. You got to have faith. Well, what in the world is faith? Live a life by faith. Look at your neighbor and say one more time, by faith. We're going to back up to Hebrews 11. I already told you that we have people in our corner, right, in Hebrews chapter 12. But if we go one chapter back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says this about faith. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Guess what? We can have hope and we can be assured that as we are pressing toward the mark, our faith is increasing every single day. You can believe God for even more impossible things, greater miracles, those things that need to be done just by showing up to do the work. Just by showing up to do the work. Hebrews chapter 11, I referred to it a while ago, is considered the hall of faith. And it gives a description. I encourage you this week, take some time to break that apart. Read it in your quiet time with the Lord, or listen to it as you're driving to work. Both, there's two women that are mentioned in this passage of Scripture. One was Rahab. She was a hooker. Let's just make it plain. She was called a hooker. She was a prostitute. The second woman that was mentioned in the Hall of Faith was considered the mother of the nations. Think about that. Boy, that is a far cry of character between Sarah and Rahab. But I want you to look. I've considered changing this message to how a hooker changed history. That's how I've thought about renaming this message, Pastor Wallace, because it blesses me so much to see the faith of Rahab. But both of these women were counted as faithful women in Hebrews chapter 11, enough so that they made it in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11 has multiple opportunities, multiple references to by faith. Hebrews 11:11 says, "And by faith even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise to her that you will conceive. And so from this one man, and he was as good as dead, Isaac, her husband, came, or Abraham, her husband, came as good as dead," is what the Bible said. That meant he was old, old beyond old, came descendants as numerous as the stars. Hebrews 11:30-31 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell." Verse 31 says, "By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed because those who were disobedient." You see, Rahab was a first generation believer in God. She did not know anything about what it meant to be religious. She had no clue what she was even doing was wrong at that point. She did not have a clue. She didn't know anything about the Jewish tradition. But because of her blind faith, she chose to believe these two spies that said, "Hey, we will protect you. God will protect you if you will cover us and keep us secret so that we can finish the job here and take this land." Can I just tell you today, Carpenter's Church, not much has changed. When we think about the word faith, we have to understand that our confidence comes from the past experiences that we've walked through. We have to remember them as we continue to show up, to do the work, to be considered faithful. So these two words can describe a faithful life: assurance and confidence. These two words have a beginning point and an ending point. The beginning point of faith is believing that God is who He says that He is, His character. And the ending point is the promises that God has for us. Basically, it sums it up like this: He will do what He says He will do. You can believe it. You can take it to the bank and put it in as an eternal investment. God is who He says He is. His character never changes. He will do what He says that He will do, no matter the storm or the season that we have. When we believe that God will fulfill our promises even when we don't see it, what we're saying is, "You did it then, you're going to do it again." Amen? I want us to end with this before we have a time of altar. I want you to be reminded for just, this is going to take me about 2.5 minutes to do this. I want you to be reminded of who God is. And so think about it in this way. In Genesis, He was the breath of life. In Exodus, he was what? The Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he was the fire by night. Deuteronomy, he was Israel's guide. In Joshua, the salvation choice. In Judges, he was Israel's front guard, rear guard, side guard. In Ruth, he was the kinsman redeemer. God was in 1 and 2 Samuel, our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, God was sovereign. He's sovereign in your life, even now. In Ezra, he's the true and faithful scribe. And in Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of broken walls and broken lives. Some of you have got a lot of brokenness. I stand here, I got a lot of brokenness still inside my life, but I am watching God build one stone upon the other, rebuilding my life, redirecting my story. Aren't you thankful he can do that? In Esther, God is Mordecai's courage. In Job, he is our timeless redeemer. In Psalms, he is our morning song. You see, the enemy can never steal my song. He tries, but he's not taking it. In Proverbs, God is our wisdom. Amen. In Ecclesiastes, it says that God is the time and the season. There's a time and a season for everything. In Song of Solomon, he's the lover's dream. In Isaiah, the prince of peace. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Lamentations, the cry for Israel. Ezekiel, he is the call from sin. Daniel, he's the stranger in the fire. He was that fourth person. In Hosea, he was forever faithful. Look at your neighbor and say faithful. In Joel, the Spirit's power. Amos, the strong arms that carry. Obadiah, he was our Savior. And Jonah, the great missionary. Micah, he was our promise of peace. In Nahum, our strength and our shield. In Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he brought revival. And in Haggai, he restored. He was the restorer of all things lost. In Zechariah, he's our fountain. And in Malachi, he was our righteousness. That was all just the Old Testament, Pastor Wallace. That's all the things, the reminders of God's character from the Old Testament. When we think about the New Testament, and I want you to stand with me this morning. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he was Jesus the Messiah. In the Spirit-filled book of Acts, and aren't you thankful you go to a Spirit-filled church this morning? He is the reigning fire of heaven. In Romans, he was the grace of God. In Corinthians, the power of God. Of love. You guys can come on up. In Galatians, he was the freedom from the curse of sin. Ephesians, our glorious treasure. Philippians, he was the servant's heart. Colossians, the God in the Trinity. Thessalonians, he's God, our King. And Timothy, Titus, Philemon, he's our mediator and our faithful pastor. In Hebrews, he gives us courage. In James, he was the one who healed the sick. In 1 and 2 Peter, he was our faithful shepherd. And in John and Jude, he's the lover coming for his bride. That sums it up. Remember I said a while ago, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. In Revelation, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Prince of Peace. I am telling you, Carpenters Church, it is imperative that you remain faithful in a culture that screams everything but that. It is imperative that your foundation is solid this morning. Will you just bow your heads with me? This morning you may say, Pastor Laura, I would love to know Jesus. I'm not sure even what you're talking about. No one's ever shared this with me before, but I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want to know him. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand. Raise your hand really high. We want to know who you are. We want to be able to account for you. We want to be able to help disciple you. Just raise your hand this morning. Okay, so I can only assume that all those that are in this house trust Jesus, have asked Jesus to come into their life. So maybe this morning you want to say, Pastor Laura, I want to be someone who remains. I want to be found faithful. I want to be faithful. I want to be able to, when the storm comes, when the seasons of life come, that I am found faithful. I want to do it. I want to be that. I want to be found faithful. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Amen. Raise them high. We should all have our hands raised. I want to be found faithful this morning. Lord, I pray, dear God, for those, Lord, that are in this house that are choosing to remain. Father, I ask, dear Jesus, Lord, that you continue to strengthen them, equip them. Lord, continue to help them, give them the endurance to run the race. God, breathe the fresh wind, the fresh fire into their life, Lord, so that they can remain and be found faithful. This morning, let me say it like this. Maybe you're in a season of a storm this morning. I want you to meet me up here in the altars. Come on up here to the altars. We want to pray for you. We want to ask God to minister to you. Don't be ashamed. Come on up here to the altars. If you are walking through a storm, if you are walking through a season of difficulty, things are hard, you're in a pressure cooker, you feel like things are just getting ready to explode, I want you to come on up here and we're going to pray for you this morning. Rico's going to lead us in worship and take us into the throne room, and I want to pray for you. Come on up here and I am going to pray for you for the next few minutes. Enter in, press through, press in, Carpenter's Church.
I am safe in your arms. standing strong on you. I'm gonna make it through. Cause my house was built on Jesus.
So good.
running after. It's running after me. Yeah. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Yes, Lord. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running. Your goodness is running after.
It's running after me.
Your goodness is running after. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. With my life laid down, we surrender now.
Call you holy.
cast out our crowns and join with the angels. We call you holy, holy God. Holy and matchless, set apart you are, God. You're mighty, you're sovereign, you're majestic, nobody like our holy God. Holy, holy.
Praise today, would you? Come on. Hallelujah. Take away. Pastor Laura said this today. My reality, I miss the mark more than I make the mark. But all God asks is that every day I do what? I press toward the mark. Don't you let the enemy discourage you or try to defeat you. You press every day of your life toward the mark. Thank God for what he's accomplished today around these altars in the hearts of his people. If you'd be seated for just a moment. We already received a kingdom builder's offering today. Maybe for you, you say, well, man, I wish I had done something. I want to share with you just a video clip. Laura, I asked Pastor Laura today, I said, please just minister to the people, okay? She was here this weekend for our women. We had an incredible, incredible day. Those of you that volunteered and served, thank you so much for making that a huge success. God met us here yesterday. And I just said today, would you please just minister to the church? And at the end, I'll just share briefly. She's a part of a network of people in the Assemblies of God that's called Inspire. Girl, get up. Inspiring one at a time. Inspiring gatherings across the world. And so I want you to look at a video here that kind of just gives you a picture, and I'll give you an opportunity. If you missed a Kingdom Builders opportunity this morning, you'll have another one here in just a second. Take a look at the video, would you?
What do you do when God places a dream within your heart? You can ignore it or you can go for it. And in 2017, God placed a dream within my heart. I knew that the only way we would reach the world for Jesus is if all of us, those of us who know him, those of us who serve him, took the challenge to inspire the next one. And that was the birth of Inspire.
It's more than a conference. It's more than an event. We are missional at the core, so that every woman and every girl will become bold in sharing the love of Jesus with others.
Do you know that over 94% of Christians that sit in our U.S. churches have never shared their faith with one person? And we just can't do that. We can't stop. The whole world needs to know about Jesus. And if I can inspire one, and they inspire one, and the next one inspires one, that's how we will reach this world for Jesus.
Inspire is purposely creating events where women and girls can have a spiritual encounter. We believe that every girl of every age has the right to hear that she was created in the image of God.
What we're doing is empowering women and girls to reach the next one that needs to know Jesus, to live a lifestyle of evangelism, that sharing their faith has to become normal.
I can inspire, you can inspire, and one by one, Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life.
Will you inspire with us?
Hallelujah. Inspire. Somebody say inspire. Pastor Joy and I are committing to join Inspire. That'll be a wonderful opportunity for us on a monthly basis to say, hey, we believe in what God is doing through Inspire Network. You can be a part too. You go by the table when you leave here today, or you can hit the QR code, and our church will get credit. I'm sure that's right. This Assemblies of God Network here, our church will get credit in missions giving for that. And most importantly is that those funds end up assuring that firecrackers like Pastor Laura can be about the earth going for lifers, all right? All right. I enjoyed your ministry. You ministered to my heart. You ministered yesterday. I was a man in a woman's event, kind of, you know, just kind of doing my thing. And just had a good time. And did God speak to your hearts today? Come on. Amen. Amen. What a message. What a message. I love good preaching, and you just, I'm a fan. I'm a Laura fan. Hashtag Laura fan. And just thank you for being here today. You know what? I just sense in the spirit, 24 is the year, y'all. Come on. I just sense a shift. I just sense a shift in this house. Our worship team, our prayer team, our leaders, our elders, our pastors, volunteers. God's doing a shift, y'all. And we're going to see the fruit of that every time we gather together. Thank you for your faithfulness, Pastor Joy, and I love you like a fat boy loves cake. I'm telling you, we do. And we just appreciate all you are and what you represent. Join the Inspire Network if God's so speaking to you. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we come before you today with gratitude in our hearts today, God, thanking you for who you are, for what you're doing in the earth today. Thank you for the Inspire Network. Thank you for Laura and for Cindy. God, I pray in Jesus' name you go before them. Be their rear guard. Be the glory and the lifter of their heads in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you want to give today to Inspire for today, just come on and do that. The buckets are here at the front. You can also hit the website or text by giving or whatever. The buckets are here at the front. Make your way forward if you'd like to do that. And you can make the check payable to CSIC. God bless you. Don't forget the Super Bowl lunch, y'all. Lunch in the back. Lunch in the back.